And last night I shared, this is a statue in Paris. I don't know how to pronounce it because it's in French, and I don't know French, but I know translated roughly it's the listener, okay? It's the listener. In fact, I have another photo with a little boy in the hand, and it looks like this wise listener is listening. So that's the story of that image up there. This is one of those texts. Bonnie and I were chatting before the service. It's not a fun one to say in front of people. And I said, yeah, it's not a lot of fun to preach on it either. But I think it's important that we don't avoid these seemingly difficult words. And so, for me, I think it's helpful to kind of get a picture of what's happening. And in order to do this accurately, I think we need to go back to last week's text. And just a reminder about last week's text, Jesus and his disciples are traveling the countryside and they come to a little town and they go into the house. And Jesus says to his disciples, what were you guys talking about when we were out there on the trail? Well, if you can just kind of picture the disciples looking at each other, kind of like with the faces of, uh-oh, we're busted now. Because what they were talking about and arguing over was who was the greatest amongst them. Who is the greatest amongst them? And Jesus, in that last week's text, takes a small child, picks up a small child and places him on his lap, and then goes on to say that whoever serves one like this child in their lap, in Jesus' lap, whoever serves one like this serves me, and not only me, but the one who sent me. That's what it means to be the greatest. It's to serve this one that is in my lap. And we have to understand that children in that culture and in that time and in that setting and that society were thought of very differently than what we often do with children. At that time, children were sometimes even considered a burden to the families, because it's another mouth to feed. And often children were looked way down upon. I mean, talk about low on the totem pole. They're way low on the totem pole, have very little, if any, value in society. And this is the one that Jesus sits up on his lap and says, you want to know what it looks like to be the greatest? Serve one like this. Well, then we have this week's text, and you can picture John, the disciple, in this group watching Jesus and presumably listening to Jesus say these words. But what's on John's mind is, you know what, Jesus, there were these other people. There were these other people that were casting out demons in your name, but they weren't following us. Isn't that interesting? Did you notice that John puts the focus on us? They weren't following us. That's interesting. I thought, John, that we were called to follow Jesus, not calling people to follow us. But needless to say, this is what John says. They weren't following us, and so we tried to stop them. We tried to stop them from doing this good deed, calling out demons. Okay? And Jesus, still with this child on his lap, this vulnerable, this valued, less person in society, still with this child in his lap, says to John, okay, don't worry about them. If they're not against us, they're for us. They're doing a good deed. Let them do a good deed. It's okay. Now, getting back to this child, this valued less one in society, this one that you still refuse to look at and pay attention to. It would be better, he says, anybody that it becomes a stumbling block for one like this to receive and to come to me, it would be better for them to have a millstone wrapped and tied to their neck and thrown into the sea. Whoa! Then he continues and says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It'd be better for you to enter the kingdom lame than it would be to enter into that eternal fire. And the same with the foot. If a foot causes you to sin, cut it off for the same reason. If an eye, pluck it out. Whoa! These are extreme words. And I picture Jesus with this child on his lap and these disciples arguing about who's the greatest and trying to call out people that weren't like them. They weren't following us. And Jesus now says these words with this child on his lap. And I can hear Jesus. This is not in the text. This is Michael putting it in there. Now, do I have your attention? Because he uses this hyperbole, these over-exaggerated things, and yet they are strong, and they're meant to be strong, and they're meant to be paid attention to. Pay attention to these. Serve this one. But I'd like to focus a little bit on John, because I think I can relate to John. It's one that with the other disciples was arguing about who's the greatest, and now with this child on Jesus' lap still is looking out somewhere else and pointing out people that don't follow Jesus the way we follow Jesus, because they're not following us. They're not like us. So I like to consider, what is this us? And in order to do so, and I'm going to refer back to an experience that we had together here at Holy Shepherd when the youth that went to Houston to the National Youth Gathering led worship, earlier this summer. When they returned from that, they led worship, and they invited us into an exercise where they showed us some images that were very disturbing, and they brought out within us some really potentially strong feelings, okay? And then we were invited to ponder those images and then write down what those images are doing to us inside and where do you see God in these images. And so we did, and we did as a community, and we wrote down these responses and put them on these pillars out in the narthex that the youth provided for us. Well, we collected them, all of them. And Karen has put them into this little booklet, and you can take one. They're out in the narthex, and I invite you to do so. But I'd like to use this as we ponder who us is. Us here at Holy Shepherd. Who is this us? Well, I'd like to begin with just a reminder. One of the images, two images that were revealed to us. One was a picture of a family next to the border, to the wall along our southern border. And next to it was a picture of a young person holding up a sign that reads, "Make America Great Again, I Will Help Build the Wall." And we were invited to consider what this stirs up in us and where do we see God in this. And this is some of our responses to this. Don't build a wall. Make the table longer. Knock down the walls. Another person responded, Yes, please live peacefully on your stolen land. Another responded, no wall at all. Another responded, there has to be some type of security measure because too many people cross to get freedom. This was a part of us here at Holy Shepherd. And this is just portions of them, okay? Another image that we were invited to consider was an image at a demonstration where there was this banner that these people were carrying that read on it, no human being is illegal. And some of us responded this way, God created laws for all people to follow. Respect other people and homeland. Another responded, amen. My ancestors came from Germany and Ireland. We were the land of the free, yet are forcing terrible things to happen to others who are coming over. I have friends who are scared to ask for help. This should not happen in America. And another responded, the above statement is misleading and typical of the left's simplistic thinking. Another responded, all people deserve a chance to live in freedom and love, no matter their race or religion. This is part of our us. Another image that we were invited to ponder were words. Words praise well with others. And around and in the center of those words were some different symbols of different religions. Praise well with others. One person responded, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. If we truly hear Christ's word, that he is the only way to God. We cannot accept other faiths as true. Jesus told us we would suffer when we proclaim him the only way. When we pray with other faiths, we tell Christ we do not believe what he said. Another responded, one God, one higher being. All the wars to fight over our one God, one higher being. Another responds, I see God in other faith traditions. This is a part of our us here at Holy Shepherd. The last image I'd like to lift up that brought a number of different responses was around an image of a cartoon-like sketch. And in this cartoon, we have two people holding a sign that reads, quit redefining marriage. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, with another person standing next door holding a sign that says, marriage equality now. And that person is saying, then quit giving birth to gay people. And some responses that this brought from us here at Holy Shepherd. What does the Bible say? We need to follow God's word above all. Another person responds, it is difficult to deal with the hate expressed and still be tolerant of those who feel strongly against gays. Another responds, marriage is for men and women. God says so in the Bible. And another responds, God loves everyone and does not care who you love. That is the point. To say who deserves love, to be married, to have family is not our place. It is God's being Christian means to give Christ's love to all, not just those who think like you, live like you, love like you, but to all. These were just a sample of some of the responses and a reflection of us. And I hear John, the disciple, standing in front of Jesus who has this child on his lap. This child, this insignificant one in that society, this one that is valued less, while Jesus has this child and invites those who want to be great to serve one like this, John is thinking about those over there that don't follow Jesus the way we do. They don't follow like we do, so we need to stop them, Jesus. And Jesus' response is, if they're not against us, they're for us. And this us becomes challenging, doesn't it? Because even in that small group, there was diversity. And way back with the first Christians, we were already starting to point out where how some were the right way and others were the wrong way. And even today, we have within our us differences of thought and opinion. I have to admit, sometimes when reading through this, and I hope you do too, reading through some of these, some of them made me sad. Some of the responses made me angry. Some of the other responses made me go, huh. And other responses, I went, yeah. And yet they were all us. And I think we have an opportunity with Jesus sitting in front of us with this insignificant one on his lap to be different. To be different than those that we hear so much about and sometimes we participate. We're in this world that when there is somebody who thinks differently, they are villainized. They are villainized. If you don't think like we do, sounds like John. If they don't follow like we do, they need to be stopped. And boy, in this world that we live in today, those differences can become deep and profound places of division. And yet with Jesus, with this small child, this insignificant, sometimes overlooked one in society, sitting in front of us, said, this is what we're called to serve. Even in these differences, I get it. You have differences. Jesus doesn't call us to think alike, the same. We're called to follow Jesus and not ask others to follow us. And it's hard. And so when I was going through all this, I pondered and I wondered, where's the good news in this? Because I agree with you, Bonnie. These are hard words. Hard words. And I think they're intended to be hard words. And so I wondered, where do we find any good news or a glance of some light? And again, the Thursday morning Bible study, which I love for so many reasons, invited me to take a look at the last part of today's text. Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. We're called to be different. We're called to be different in this world, recognizing those challenges, not turning our backs on them, but faithfully coming together as an us that recognizes we have differences of opinion and we are called to follow this one that calls us to serve the most vulnerable, the outcast, the valued less in our society. And I pray that in our differences, I pray you will go and take this list and take it home with you and pay attention to where those feelings come up. And we're looking for opportunities for us to come together and talk, not yell at each other. I won't be a part of that. I'll just say that right now. I'm not interested in being a part of a debate that gets to the point that says some of us are going to be winners at the end of this and some of us are going to be losers. Not interested in that. But I think we're called together in our differences to figure out ways that how can we continue to be a healthy us, recognizing those differences and still serve this one that sits on Jesus' lap. It's hard work. But I think it's what we're called to be. And I pray that we can do this together. Be different. Can we be different than the world out there that it continues to yell at one another, villainize one another, because we're different? I pray that we will find our unity at the foot of the cross and serve as Jesus calls us to serve. Now, last week, you were invited to ponder a word. And I think you were handed some paper when you walked in that you can write down some reflections on a word. I'm going to give you the word. It's not a big word, and maybe you can anticipate what that word's going to be. The word is us. And so I invite you in this next minute or so of silence to take out that piece of paper and reflect on what you consider and what happens inside of you when you think of the word us. What do you think of? Who's included? Who's not included? Why? Where's God in your us? Ponder all of that, but ponder what is us for you in this next time of silence.